Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We have been talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of God, the love of God, the agape love of God. And last week we talked about in Luke 16:11, faithfulness. And faithfulness is one of the fruit. Then you never say fruits, so it's not plural, it's fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when you're faithful, it has to come from the Holy Spirit and the agape love of God. See, the agape love of God is unconditional love. And there's five loves. So the one that's unconditional is the God kind of love. That's what all the fruit flow from, is the agape love. The other four are they're eros, that's sexual love between a man and a woman in marriage. Filio love, that's brotherly love. That's where Philadelphia, brotherly love, the city of love, brotherly love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Thermos, which is passionate love, keeps things warm or keeps things cold. That's the thermos is the Greek word. And fourth is storge, that's family love. Those are all based on emotions. But emotions can't hold things together, because emotions fall apart when things get tough. But agape love stands and holds things together. Are you with me? That's what the kingdom of God is built on. And that's what God originally created Adam and Eve in, is the agape love. Those other loves didn't even exist until sin came in. Did you get that? So really, everything that doesn't flow from the agape love will end up in sin. So you got to have you some Jesus. You got to have you some God in your life for this fruit to even show up. Am I making sense? So we talked about faithfulness last week. And remember, faithfulness, in Luke 16:11, he says, if I can't trust you with unrighteous mammon, how am I going to commit to you true riches? If you're not faithful with unrighteous mammon, how are you going to be faithful with true riches? Now listen, this is significant. Faithful, remember, it only comes from the love of God. So I have to remain faithful. How does God know if you're faithful? You know what? You want to know the test he shows you? How you handle your money. Because that's what he's talking about, is your money. I've been a pastor, been here for 23 years. I pastored at Ginghamsburg for 4 years. And I've been a Christian for 40. I have prayed for more people about this topic of finances, money, than anything I've ever prayed people for. In this church, it's the most... people have problems with their money. Now listen to me. He says in Luke 16, unrighteous mammon. You know what he's talking about? The word mammon means wealth or money. But now look, mammon is a spirit in Babylon. You hearing me? It's a spirit in Babylon. Babylon means confusion. Check this out. More young people are in debt and have credit issues and problems than all of history. After going through all we've gone through, it got worse after the COVID. So we can't blame it on the COVID. Now listen to me. God uses money to test to see where you're faithful or not. You see? Now think about this. How you handle your money. Now, here's how you break the back of mammon off of your money. You see, it's a spirit on your money. And it brings confusion. If you can't pay your bills and you got credit problems, there's confusion in your money. And it comes from mammon. I'm looking at everybody. I'm looking at myself. I understand this. Now listen. You break the back, you break that off when you tithe. God has given us the principle of tithing. He talks about tithing in Malachi chapter 3. It says, when you tithe, he will destroy the devourer. That's talking about the devil. Can't control your money. He will destroy him. And you tithe to your local, the storehouse, the Bible says. Malachi chapter 3. Jesus was setting up the kingdom of God, and that's what he ushered in. Malachi, he's setting it up, and now he comes in Matthew, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent means to turn the other direction, but it means, this is what it means, metanoia. It's a Greek word, metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means mind. You have to change your mind towards this kingdom. In other words, this kingdom doesn't function the way you think it does. You have to change your mind to understand this kingdom that I'm bringing in. Now listen, metanoia. So if you don't understand this kingdom, you end up in paranoia. You need to get me out of here. Are you getting this? That's the way it is. But when you begin to understand and you put that principle in place, you start to see not only your finances, your relationships, you don't have a temper like you used to have. He says he will give you, he will make you ruler over much in Matthew 25. When you get this area of your life in under God's auspices, he'll make you ruler over many. That word ruler means you'll have control over your temper. You'll have control over your appetites. You'll have control over the boss at work. He's not going to, when he gets mad and he's always breathing down your neck, you're going to be loving him. You're going to be praying for him. You're going to bless him because you're under control. The kingdom of God, you're operating under a theocracy, not a democracy. And that's what we're out to do. We're out to advance God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody ever heard that before? That's what the church, the ecclesia, is called to do. We're called to this. Jesus said, I'm going to build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, when you got God and you got the kingdom of God, the devil is shaking in his boots. That's why he works overtime to keep you from being faithful. He doesn't want you to be faithful. He doesn't want you to be trusted with true riches. Remember, true riches are people. God wants to, if God can't trust you with your money, he can't trust you with people. Because your money says a lot about you. If your heart is, oh, if I had more money, I could do that. No, God wants you to trust him for your dreams and aspirations. Listen to me. This is how trust works, remember? The word trust, I'm reading a book by Henry Cloud. He's a theologian and a world-renowned psychologist. He knows what he's talking about. Trust, everybody has trust issues. Everybody. And when you deal with your trust issues, now you can trust and you can be trusted. And he says the five essentials of trust begin with understanding. You have to have understanding. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. And then it says, understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. That's why understanding is so important. Then he says, Motive. So it's understanding, it's motive now. What are your motives? This is how you discern the people you're going to allow in close proximity in your life. Because you need people you can trust to help you fulfill the will of God in your life. Because your fulfillment and your purpose for living on this planet is to do God's will in the agape love of God. Now listen. And so when you can discern people, you can understand them. You can understand their motives. Next, he says, ability. Do they have the ability to help me fulfill God's will in my life? The word ability comes from the word suitable. The etymology of that word comes suitable. Are they suitable to help me fulfill God's will in my life? Fourth one is character. Do they have the character to assist me in fulfilling God's will in my life? And number five, track record. What's the track record like? People use that for everything. God uses it for trust. He's watching how you're handling your money. Am I making sense? Come on now. I'm not going to say anything else about money. But I want you to understand. When you get your money under his auspices, your bills are going to be paid. You're going to be able to take a vacation once in a while. You're going to be able to get along with people. You're going to be able to understand the people you are getting along with. You're going to have real love flowing up under the roof. You're going to have your wife and your husband, they're going to want to, they're looking for each other to come home. You're going to send each other a little, you the best. Because real love's flowing. Am I making sense? Let's go to our foundational scripture, Tim, Galatians 5. Thank you for being here today, guys. And this is our vision here. God doesn't do anything without vision. If you can't see it, it's not going to happen. That's why you need a vision. If you're confused and you're wondering which way to go, you need a vision. And God will give you a vision if you ask him. Now watch. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. All right. So you see faithfulness there? That's where we were last week. Gentleness is where we are today. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to ask you to pay attention. Remember? I mean, look at what's going on around you. There's more crime. I mean, crime, it's just out of control. I wonder why. Huh? That's a money problem. Our world is out there, it's falling apart. When you're in the kingdom, you're not falling apart. You're not falling apart like I always say, like a $2 suitcase. Your emotions are intact. We're talking about gentleness today. Now, this word gentleness is in our society, in the world we live in today, it's spoken of as being weak. Weak or, you know, frail. Or, you know, gentle. But that is a gross error of what gentleness is. Gentleness is the same word as meekness. Same word. No difference. Same word. And God, his love, agape love, flows in gentleness. And when you have true gentleness, it's got to come from his love and your relationship with him. Now, listen. Most people assume that if a person is gentle or meek, he must be weak. This is a gross error. Now listen to me. Weakness is road rage. That's weakness. Weakness is you can't get your bills paid. Weakness is you fly off the handle when your temper's tried. That's weakness. Weakness is pride, arrogance, gossip is weakness. Gossip is the pursuit of selfish ambitions and self-interest. That's what gossip is. God hates pride. God hates gossip. If you're going to walk in the agape love of God, you're going to have to find out what God hates. Because if you don't know what God hates, you are contaminating the love of God in your own life. Am I making sense? Are you glad you came to church? Listen, this is why we got to understand. And when we understand, remember? That's the first thing, right? Delivers us from what? All evil. Now watch. In reality, gentleness is one of the strongest attributes a person can possess. Because it refers to a unique strength that dramatically impacts everyone it touches. In the ancient world, gentleness was considered to be a high and noble ideal that the people aspired to attain in their life. If I could just get to gentleness. See, they didn't see it as being weak and frail. They understood gentleness is something only from God. Now watch. This word gentleness is the word pratos. P-R-A-U-T-E-S. It's a Greek word. It's the same word for meek and gentle, pratos. And it describes a person who is forbearing, patient, slow to respond in anger, or strong-willed. A person who has learned to submit to a high authority. Submit his will or her will to a high authority. God is the authority. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As the rain comes down from heaven and the snow and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, so shall my word be. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish in the thing for which I have sent it. And then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace. That's the kingdom of God. When we understand he's the high authority, we get our thoughts and ways lined up with his. Now we're walking in peace and joy, no matter what the world is doing. Am I making sense? Now watch this. A person who's gentle is a controlled person by the Holy Spirit. When confronted by injurious situation, a gentle person doesn't react with a rash or anger outburst. They don't get offended by people. Am I making sense? You'll be hurt all the rest of your life and never fulfill God's will if you're always getting hurt. When a person is gentle, they don't react with rash or angry outburst or fly into a rage or throw a temper tantrum. Instead, they respond with kindness, friendliness, and gentleness. No matter what's going on, This is where this word comes from, pratos. This word pratos, gentleness, meekness, listen, is used in a medical sense to denote a soothing medication to calm an angry mind. Oh, don't you like that? So a gentle person doesn't project the countenance of one who's hurt and offended or upset and angry or reactive to insults and injuries. Instead, they respond in a gentle, mild, soothing way. And they become medication. Listen, they become medicine and medication for an angry soul. You seeing that? That's how it is. Don't you want to be like that? I've done that before. Gentleness makes you careful, concerned, and controlled. Even in the most difficult circumstances, instead of flying into a rage and throwing a hissy or a temper tantrum at every whim, you are able to remain silent and keep your emotions and temper in check. Your very presence will become God's soothing medication for an angry, upset soul. And you will impart peace in others, in circumstances and situations that previously would bring unsettling and unstable conditions. But because you are gentle, you're bringing something only God can bring. If you find yourself in a situation that you fiercely believe is wrong, you're still able to remain silent until the appropriate moment to speak or until you've been asked for your opinion. You know how to control yourself and your emotions. That's true. Gentle, meek. Meekness means strength under control or teachable. So when you're gentle and meek, you have strength under control and you're teachable. You see that? Listen to what it says in James 1:21. It says, we are saved by the word of God. We are to receive the word of God with meekness, which is able to save our soul. See that? So it means you're teachable. So when you're teachable, you're a person that receives God's word and it comes in and saves your soul. Now, weak people, when we don't have gentleness and meekness, we become weak. Remember, weak people are prideful, arrogant, pushy, rude, crude, and always in a mood. Gossip. They gossip. They nag. They nag. That's weakness. See, people that are gentle and meek don't participate in those things because they're out to please the Lord. They're constrained by the love of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians, the love of Christ constrains me. See that? I want to show them, the person who's out of control, Christ. See that? Stay still. This word pratos, meek, gentle, was the word they used for a wild stallion after it had been tamed. Because a wild stallion, if it wasn't tamed, It wasn't Pratt's. And what would happen is they would go into a war, and that wild stallion, if it wasn't tamed and it didn't listen to its master who was sitting on it, it could end up losing the entire war because of what it wanted to do. Did you get that? A man or woman of God does not mean you're weak. It means you are under control and willing to submit to a high authority. And his name is Jesus. Now listen. Give me Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now listen to me. This is the NIV version. Some of you may have that. The NIV version says this. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a hard, harsh word stirs up anger. See, there it is. When you have gentleness coming out of you, you remove the anger from the situation. And you medicate it with God's presence. Are you listening to me? Huh? Get a hold of this. You see, we are created in our brains. Our brains have mirror neurons. Mirror neurons. When you understand this, it's going to change your entire world. Now listen to me. You have these neurons in your brain. Everybody's created this way. So here's what they do. When a person is angry and out of control and they come at you, your first inclination is to give it back to them. That's it. When a person is depressed, your first inclination is to get depressed with them. You see, who you hang around with, who you're close to is important. When people are excited, when you're excited, I'm excited, you tend to get excited and passionate because you mirror what's in front of you. But here's what a person who understands gentleness. When a person comes angry and screaming at you, you lower your voice. You lower your voice. And you can watch. You can watch this thing work. It starts to medicate them right away. You just don't feed it. It says where there's no wood, the fire goes out. You just don't feed it. That's just pretty common sense right there, isn't it? So when you're in gentleness, you just, okay. That's the whole idea. When you get in the face of God and you look at him, you're going to start to mirror him.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.